Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio. In this hour, you'll hear directly from our region's finest business leaders. Through each of the interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, about leadership styles and opportunities that lie ahead. Prepare to be inspired and entertained and to hear wisdom unheard elsewhere. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the office of Pretori Law in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Allison Mullins, Pretori Law, Paul Pagnotto-Carp, with Kathy Reeder, Pagnotto-Carp, Sean Follin, The Clearing, and Zach Applebaum. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Julie Hauer, who is the CEO of Rehab at Work, followed by Maribel Torres, CEO of Lumix CPAs and Advisors, Gwen Rosner, partner and co-founder of Flex Professionals, and Kathy DeMeo, president of KAI Research. Let's get to know our first guest, Julie Hauer, CEO of Rehab at Work. Julie, what is Rehab at Work? What do you guys do?
We're an outpatient physical therapy and occupational therapy company here in the metro D.C. area.
What do you mean? Tell me a little bit more about what you do.
We treat folks that have orthopedic injuries, and we specialize in those that have been injured at work.
Interesting. How large or how small is this organization?
We have about 55 employees and 9 offices throughout the area.
Uh-huh. And how'd you get a job with this company?
Give me a call and check out our website.
So you started the business?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And where are you from originally?
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
And how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I have 3 brothers, 2 older and 1 younger.
Uh-huh. And tell me a little bit about important events that happened in your life when you were a kid. What happened and how old were you?
One of the things that was significant to me is when my father changed jobs sort of at the last minute and we had to move the day before school started.
How old were you?
Just turning 10.
So what did that do to you, you know, going into, I guess it was 4th grade at that point?
Correct.
And you moved, so it was like a sudden kind of thing. How'd that make you feel?
I felt pretty awkward, but it gave me perspective of what it feels like to be a new person in the group. So that taught me really to be able to reach out to people to make them feel more comfortable.
So because it was a sudden kind of thing, you didn't feel a part of it all. And that gave you a sense of empathy and helping figure out how to make other people feel comfortable?
Sure.
What does that have to do with building this business called Rehab at Work?
Well, as a therapist, you meet new people every day, and you want to have them feel comfortable enough after you've met them to have them take off their clothes within 10 minutes so you can check out their back or check out where they're hurting.
So this ability of yours to make people feel comfortable is really important in your therapy role. Let me ask you a question, though. You also have to have some pretty exceptional organizational skills to grow a business. How young were you when these organizational skills were showing up?
I would say about 5 years old when I would rearrange my room every weekend.
So you would why were you rearranging your room? Was it to challenge yourself? Was it to make things different? What was going on there?
To have things in order and to see if I could make things fit in a different way and look better.
Uh-huh, interesting. So you like challenging yourself and you like seeing what's the best way, you like optimizing.
Yes.
Uh-huh. How young were you when you started making money?
I was 15 for my first paying job.
What was that?
I was a dishwasher.
Uh-huh. What did you do different than all the other kids that were washing dishes?
When I didn't have anything to do, I would dust the gum wrappers and the gum packs.
Wait. Were you being paid to do that kind of stuff?
No, but I had done everything else and got it done quicker than everybody else, so I needed to find something else to do while I was there at work.
So your nature is to keep yourself pretty busy, pretty active.
Yes.
Even, you know, you go the extra mile. It's your nature.
Yes.
What's that have to do with building a business?
Well, you need to go the extra mile with taking care of your customers and your employees.
Sean?
Where'd you learn that from? Who in your family, was it your mom or your dad that taught you the importance of that?
I think both my parents, when I brought home a B, they said you could bring home an A, and that's a difference of another 30 minutes of studying, so go make that happen.
So didn't you feel resentful because they made you do that?
No, challenged.
Challenged. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Allison, what are you thinking?
You said that your first paying job was working as a dishwasher. What was your first non-paying job?
I was president of a lot of groups and activities in my junior high school and high school.
You were president of a lot of, well, like what kind of stuff?
Like 4-H, like cheerleading, National Honor Society, Teachers Association, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, why would they make you the president, or how'd you get to be the president of all those things?
I think because I had the people skills and the organization skills, and I think because people want somebody to take leadership and make things happen.
Does that have anything to do with growing this organization called Rehab at Work?
Yes, I needed the people skills as well as the organizational skills to coordinate everybody.
Huh, interesting. Zach, what kind of question you got?
How do you translate the attitude of finishing a job task and then moving on to one that you were not assigned into managing your employees?
Yeah,
I think
that's a great
question. As a CEO, my job now is to motivate my employees to give their 110%. Their job is to take care of the customers, and my job is, my customers are now my employees. So knowing them, challenging them, making them feel comfortable in what they're doing and want to stay and continue to work for me.
Kathy, what are you thinking? What kind of questions you got?
Well, when you talk about wanting to have your employees be comfortable, but you also like to find different ways to optimize things, how does everybody else deal with change in your organization?
I think people have to understand why there's change, and usually you, as a leader, I need to make the change because there's a need and to identify that need. So first of all, if there needs to be something to change, to identify that, be aware of it, and then enroll people on what this will do for them, because mm-hmm. that's what it is at the end of the day. People will change once they know that it has a meaning for them.
Julie, are you married?
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Uh-huh. And I'm just wondering, you know, I'm wondering these skills that you've got, which are the ability to move a team, you know, in different directions. I'm wondering what the difference between that is and, like, being a mom or doing nonprofit stuff. It sounds like it's all the same kind of stuff, isn't it?
It is. I have 4 kids. I had them in 5.5 years, so I sort of have a team.
You have 4 kids. Okay, what's the similarity between being a mom and being the CEO of Rehab at Work? The similarity?
Taking charge of what's going on and meeting each of the kids' needs or each employee's need where they are specifically.
Uh-huh, and trying to enroll them in the solution.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Paul, what do you got? What are you thinking?
Julia, growing up, you always put others first. How does that apply to your business? Do you have any principles or rules that govern that?
Yes. I run my business and teach my employees that to use the platinum rule instead of the golden rule. And that is to do unto that person as they would like to have it done, not how I would like to have it done.
Huh, interesting. Who's got the next question here? Allison, what are you thinking?
Julie, there's a very charismatic and nurturing and take care of people personality. Where does that come from?
I would think partly from my mom, who was a physical therapist, but also from my father, from his taking care of his customers.
Sean?
When you first started your practice, what was it like? Were you one of few women who was getting into the business of running?
Yes. Typically, you don't see a lot of therapists own their own practices. They usually work for hospitals or for doctors. So that was different to have a woman owning their own business way back then.
And what was it like? What were you feeling? What was your experience like? Were you nervous? Was it a challenge, something exciting?
I think that because my father taught me always to have tough skin, especially since I had 3 big brothers, that I was able to go ahead and go in and face the challenges, and was taught that each of us need to be able to stand on our own 2 feet. So take your fear and go forth.
Mm-hmm. Zach, what do you think? What else are you thinking?
How did you juggle having 4 kids and creating a business at once?
Always get good help. That's a good skill of a good leader, is to make sure you have a good team around you.
Huh. Allison, what else are you thinking?
I recall you telling a story about something that happened to your father when you first went away to college, and it teaching you the importance of customer relationships. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. My parents dropped me off at my first day of college, and my father went home and had a heart attack that night, and then had to undergo open heart surgery, and was home for about 3 months, not able to cover his territory where he did his sales. And he had built such strong relationships with his customer. His business grew and had his best time ever while he was home recuperating, because people were calling in the orders because they wanted to support him. So really taught me that it is about relationships. You know, you want someone to tell you you've done something well or good, but it's really a good relationship when you know someone tells you that you have spinach in your teeth. So you want to be able to have that kind of relationship with people.
How old were you when Dad had that, when Dad had the heart attack?
I just turned 18.
You just turned 18. And how'd you find out that the customer, that he was having his best year with the heart attack?
I'm sorry?
How'd you find out that he was having a good year in spite of the heart attack? Did he tell you or did your mom tell you? How'd you find that out?
Yes, we were, you know, concerned about my father's health, concerned about my mother. And so she told me everything was going really well because she was answering the phone and taking the orders.
So your mom was helping your dad out and you were aware of the business issues that were going on.
Yes.
You took an interest in business at an early age.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That lesson about keep your customers happy, you learned that at an early age. That really sunk in, didn't it?
It did.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address of this organization known as Rehab at Work?
Rehabatwork.com.
Rehabatwork.com. We've been speaking with Julie Hauer, who's the CEO of Rehab at Work, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Allison Mullins, Pretoria Law, Paul Pagnotto and Kathy Reeder, Pagnotto Carp, and Sean Fullen, the clearing, along with Zach Applebaum, the student, who's asking better questions than I am. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. And your name and organization?
Tanya Lederman with Blue Tree Digital.
And what does Blue Tree Digital do for its clients?
We are a full-service digital marketing firm based in Reston, Virginia, and we help small businesses, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits grow their marketing dreams.
So your role in the company is what?
I'm the managing director of client service.
So your job is to do what kind of stuff?
So I match clients with their marketing needs, and I assemble the right team to help get results right away.
So give me an example of who some of your clients are. What kind of businesses are they, or nonprofits or whatever?
Sure. We have businesses in all industries. We help government contractors. We help apartment complexes. We help IT companies. We help businesses in all industries, both large and small.
So you're helping these businesses figure out their digital strategy?
Exactly. So we do everything from creating the digital strategy to implementing it to serving as a full service marketing department when they don't have enough marketing expertise on staff.
Uh-huh. And you're sitting and you're talking to these folks up front and then through the course of time to keep figuring out, considering all the stuff that's happening digital, how they can stay on top of it?
Exactly. It's very relationship based, which is sometimes hard to come by now that everything is digitally based. Uh-huh. People tend to forget about the relationships, and it's very important to keep them strong.
What do you enjoy most about your job?
The thing I enjoy most about my job, it's a very collaborative environment, both across our team and with the clients. I really love the look on their face when I give a presentation and they see the results of the efforts really coming to fruition.
When it really hits them, that it makes a lot of sense.
It does. Uh-huh. It's very satisfying across the board.
What's the website address of this organization?
BlueTreeDigital.com.
Let me have that one more time.
BlueTreeDigital.com.
And your name again is?
Tanya Lederman.
And the name of the organization?
Blue Tree Digital.
Gotcha. This has been your Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Doug Whitescarver.
And Doug, what organization are you with?
I'm with Lumix CPAs and Advisors.
Give me an example of who some of your clients are.
We work with a lot with nonprofits and specialized professional service organizations.
And give me an idea what you do with these nonprofits and specialized professional service organizations. What do you do for them?
We either help them through their audits, manage their everyday operations, client CFO work, and outsource accounting.
And are you doing this face-to-face with them? Are you doing it over the telephone?
We do a little bit of face-to-face, but mostly over web-based design systems that streamline their operations so they facilitate and save time.
So you're helping digitize their input so that as opposed to wasting a lot of time or perhaps getting bad information, it's coming in rather efficiently, and then you're really helping shed light on the financial results.
That's exactly it. We try to make things streamlined so we spend less time, they save more money, and we can get more advisory work.
What do you like about what you do for a living?
Handling a problematic situation, creating good information so they can make good decisions moving forward and hopefully save money.
I see. So you're talking about in the course of the typical week or month or conversation with a client, there's liable to be some problems, and you like helping them figure out the solutions to those problems as opposed to them getting stuck.
very much so, and that's honestly why they come to us in the first place, is to correct a problem that somebody else has typically uncovered.
So it could be where they need something, they need a different bank, or they need a different system, or maybe there's a different, they need to switch some staff members around, and you guys are talking to them about all that kind of stuff.
That's correct. Anything across the board.
You're like their business doctor, it sounds like. You're doing a physical, like, you know, you go in for an annual physical with a client, with a doctor. That's what you're doing for your clients on a regular basis.
Very much so.
Interesting. What's the website address of this organization?
LumixCPA.com.
Let me have that one more time.
LumixCPA.com.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Maribel Torres, CEO of Lumix CPAs and Advisors. Maribel, what is Lumix CPAs and Advisors? What are you guys doing?
We are an accounting firm that emphasizes on finding technology that will increase the productivity of an organization or a company through pairing technology that will make accounting easier and better information.
Didn't you tell me earlier that you like coming up with better ideas? And in fact, why is the company's name Lumix? Why Lumix? What's that have to do?
We want to enlighten the organization's information. What is it that it's telling about their past history?
So it's not just the numbers. You're helping the CEO interpret and the board and the key operating people interpret the numbers.
That's right.
You're shining a light on the numbers. Where are you from originally?
I'm from San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh. And how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I am the last of four. I have two older brothers,
so you're
much
the youngest
older.
Of four. And how young were you when you came to the United States?
I was 10 years old.
And why'd you come to the United States?
My mother was offered a job at Stanford University Hospital, and my father started his doctorate degree at Stanford University.
All right. How young were you when you started coming up with better ideas? Give me an example of that.
Well, when my family moved us to Palo Alto, we lived in the Stanford campus. I was a Stanford brat, and the whole world opened up to me from having been in a sheltered situation. My grandmother brought me up. My parents, both professionals, were always outside of the home. And I was sheltered in San Juan, Puerto Rico, in private school, didn't really do much after school. And
didn't you tell me something about a kite?
Oh, boy, yes. Yeah. So when I lived in Stanford, I learned to ride a bike, and I learned to fly a kite. It was one of my passions, actually.
Why do you mean flying a kite? How did you find out about kites?
Well, the families would gather in the middle of the lawn right there at the campus and fly kites. And I started asking some of the parents what it was that they were doing and how they were doing it. And I learned enough about flying kites that I went out and got my own and started doing it on my own.
What's that kite tell us about your personality?
I enjoy seeing this colorful object up in the air being driven by the wind, just going with the flow and
you
trying
like
to
the
control
adventure
it.
Of it all. You like adventure.
Oh, I do. Absolutely.
Sean, what kind of question you got?
Yeah, what's your favorite adventure from growing up in California?
Riding my bike through Palo Alto and Stanford and the Stanford campus.
What's that have to do with building this business known as Lumix CPAs and Advisors?
Well, I like having something of my own. I like creating something. I also like to see success. I like to see success in my clients and in my employees.
Interesting. Allison, what do you think?
Your bio has a lot of personality, and it says that you like to cook. Do you like throwing together whatever's in the fridge, or do you follow a recipe with a measuring spoon?
I will throw together whatever is in the fridge, and yes, absolutely, and take my chance.
And what are some other activities that you enjoy doing right now besides cooking?
I love dancing.
What kind of dancing?
Performing flamenco dancing and belly dancing.
What does belly dancing have to do with building the successful business called Lumix CPA and Advisors?
It is something that I deeply enjoy, that I put my heart into it, and it's the same thing with Lumix CPAs and Advisors. I put my heart into it.
Aren't they different sides of the brain, though? There's that artistic side versus the number side?
Yes, and I like cultivating both of them, bringing both of them into my business and my life.
Kathy, what are you thinking? What kind of questions you got?
When you talked about kite flying, it's interesting because you're dealing now with CPAs and their risk tolerance. Is there a connection between that?
Yeah, CPAs, we tend to be a little bit boring and unfortunately don't take a lot of risk. But everybody does want to see something new coming out of their ideas. Everybody has some kind of creativity in them. And if you foster that, particularly in my employees, if I try to foster that creativity, they all of a sudden realize that, well, maybe there is some room for creativity within the CPA.
Paul, what kind of question you got?
Maribel, coming over to the United States at age 10 and going right to California, Palo Alto, that was a lot of adversity you had to overcome. Could you share how that may have related to any critical moments in your business or any adversity you've had to overcome being the CEO of a successful business?
You have to be very adaptable and go with the flow, and that's part of also why I enjoy dancing and I enjoy kite flying. You need to be adaptable. You don't know what's going to happen when you walk into the office every day. You hope you know and you have these plans, but then all of a sudden you walk in and things are completely different. The client is having an emergency or a client has decided to walk away and go with somebody else. You have to be adaptable and figure out things at the moment.
Zach, what are you thinking?
So belly dancing and kite flying are independent activities. How do you utilize that independence in running a successful company?
The model for running a CPA firm does not necessarily apply to my CPA firm. I do things differently, and I like to enjoy doing things differently. And the industry is changing very rapidly, so I need to be able to think outside the box and take some chances and get outside of my comfort zone.
Doug, I understand that you work with Maribel. What do you guys do different from each other inside the organization?
Maribel's much more the A personality of going out and meeting people, grabbing and getting the lead. I'm much more programmatic in handling more of the problems and clientele matters.
So Maribel's focus is getting new clients, and yours is keeping them happy and keeping them around for a long time.
I still have her do a lot of work, too, but yes, that's a good part of it.
And how old is the business?
She started about 22 years ago.
Do you have clients for a long period of time?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you have to be servicing these clients day in and day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, right?
Yes.
So you're not going to keep a client unless you keep them happy.
That's correct.
How do you go about keeping a client happy so that they stick around?
Always understanding their needs and making sure you fulfill the obligations and you stay on task and meet your deadlines.
I thought business was all about blood and guts and you sue people and people are disappointing people all the time.
That's why we run a different CPA firm.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, it's not all about the numbers. It's all about what the clientele needs and making sure you match it and hopefully working with staff that buys into it and enjoys the same things you enjoy.
What do you enjoy most about your job?
Really helping the clients, overcome a situation. There's been times we've been brought in that there's been a real big mess or a real problem and overcoming it and advising them on a structure to move it forward and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Cool. Strawn, what's your last question?
I'm going to take it all the way back to the beginning. When you talk about the influences early in your life, you mentioned that you were raised by your grandmother. What's the biggest gift or takeaway that you carry with you?
My grandmother was a very giving person, and she just loved. And so relationships, she taught me that relationships are the most important thing.
Wait. How'd you get that lesson?
The last what?
How'd you get that lesson? How'd you learn that lesson?
She was devoted to her grandchildren. She was devoted to her family. She
didn't know anything about business. What are you talking about?
Well, relationships and relationships are very important in business.
So the love your grandmother gave you is all about relationships, period. It's all the same.
Right.
And you care about your clients?
I absolutely care about my clients and about my employees.
Now yes. I understand the connection. Now I understand what your grandmother told you. That was a great question, Sean. What's the website address of Lumix CPAs and Advisors?
LumixCPA.com.
LumixCPA.com. We've been speaking with Maribel Torres, CEO of Lumix CPA and Advisors here on Executive Leaders Radio with Doug. What's your last name?
White Scarver.
White Scarver. And you're the
client CFO.
All right. Maribel is a CEO. And don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. We will be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues. because our CEOs have been there and done that. They've succeeded in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars, and some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. And your name is?
Jeff Lawson.
And Jeff, what organization are you with?
I'm with Lakota Hotels and Resorts.
And what do you guys do? What kind of stuff are you doing that's special?
Well, we manage conference centers and hotels, and we're currently managing the National Conference Center in Leesburg, Virginia.
National Conference Center. How large or how small is this organization?
The conference center itself is 900 rooms in size, 350,000 square feet of meeting space, dining facilities for 850, exercise facility all set on 61 acres of land.
Wow, this is a large organization, isn't it?
It is, very large.
Uh-huh. And what's your role in the organization?
I'm the general manager, and I have oversight of the property and all the hospitality services that occur.
Well, what's the general manager supposed to do with this large facility?
Make sure I have eight executive committee members and a full staff of 210 do their daily jobs.
So how many folks do you have running through your halls on a weekly basis or daily basis or annual basis? What's that look like?
Well, on a weekly basis, on a full house, we'll have 900 per night, 7 nights, 6,300, which translates to about 20,000 meals a week.
Wow. And your job, are you working 9 to 5, or do you end up having to work evenings and early mornings and weekends and stuff like that?
No, I'd say I'm always on duty.
Uh-huh. What do you enjoy about your job?
Meeting people, working with some of the finest hospitality people in Virginia, which is my team, and meeting our clients, because they're wonderful.
So you're helping your clients plan their events?
Well, we help plan. They're there for some form of education that goes on at one end of our business, and at the other end of our business, they're there for social catering events, weddings and such.
So you're running a 24/7 facility, aren't you?
We are.
Uh-huh. What's the website address of this organization?
Conferencecenter.com.
Let me have that again.
Conferencecenter.com.
And your name again is?
Jeff Lawson.
And the name of the organization?
Lakota Hotels and Resorts.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Ramon Parker.
And Ramon, the name of the organization?
Loudoun Free Clinic.
And you were telling me there's something special about the Loudoun Free Clinic, where every dollar that goes in does something else. What was that all about?
Yeah, it does something magical. So for every dollar that's donated to our clinic, we can deliver $8 worth of care.
And what kind of clinic is this? Who are you helping out? What kind of stuff do you guys do?
So we're helping out those who are 18 to 64, who are uninsured and low income, 200% or below the federal poverty level.
And give me this thing about the math again. Give me how that works.
So essentially, I have a staff of 12 individuals and 128 volunteers. So with that kind of payer mix, I'm able to deliver, you know, anywhere from $8 in care for our patients.
Because you've been able to enroll the support of so many volunteers, you're actually keeping the cost of health care down and therefore multiplying the dollars.
And making one of the best business investments for private corporations who want to invest.
And interesting. So private businesses and individuals can get involved. And didn't you
Absolutely.
Tell me you had a couple of health care challenges yourself? What were they?
I have. I've had 4 open heart surgeries, and mm-hmm. it helps me to understand what patients need.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
So the idea of having been on the table or being a patient, I'm able to take a patient focus in how we deliver care differently than most people would.
What did you learn from those experiences personally? What do you appreciate that most of us don't?
I appreciate consistency. I think that a staff at the hospital, nurses, providers, mm-hmm. parents, mm-hmm. family, all those people consistently being around me and consistently offering me hope. I'm so full of it that I have to offer that to the patients and to the staff when I'm working with them.
What's the website address for the Loudoun Free Clinic?
LoudounFreeClinic.org.
Let me have that one more time.
LoudounFreeClinic.org. FreeClinic.org.
We've been speaking with your name again?
Ramon Parker.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Thank you.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Gwen Rosner, who's the partner and co-founder in an organization called Flex Professionals. Gwen, what is Flex Professionals? What are you guys doing?
We match professionals who are looking for part-time or flexible work arrangements with companies who are looking for smart and affordable staffing solutions.
Hmm, interesting. How large or how small is this organization?
Our organization is 15 internal employees. We have offices in Washington, D.C. and Boston. We have about 11,000 candidates, and we've worked with over 450 businesses, mostly small to mid-sized businesses.
So earlier we were talking, and you told me the reason that you got involved in co-founding this business is you yourself were frustrated.
I was. I was frustrated with my part-time job search. I had been out of the workforce for about 7 years. Prior to that, I had a 15-year career with General Electric as an engineer, with Ernst & Young as a management consultant, and I had an MBA. And when I typed
Where was your MBA from?
I had an MBA from Harvard Business School.
And when you typed in what?
When I typed in part-time MBA engineer, I was fielding what are typically the part-time positions, which are lower skill, low pay, temporary, and really the help wanted type positions. And it was very frustrating and demoralizing, and I knew that there had to be more meaningful work out there for, you know, professionals like me who had good credentials.
So what happened?
So I connected with two other business partners, Sheila Murphy and Ellen Grealish, and we decided to, you know, basically fix the problem. We knew there were hundreds of women like mm-hmm. us out there.
So where'd you grow up?
I'm an Army brat, so
how many
I moved
different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
I went to 10 different schools.
And what do you think the effect of your going to 10 different schools before you graduated, what do you think that did to you?
I think it made me embrace change. Every move meant new friends, new school, new home, and you just became very resilient. And so it helped embrace change. And what it's done with, for me, I think, is not be intimidated by challenges. So I've had in my career, I've taken on projects and work that others don't want, either mm-hmm. because it's not glamorous or because it's daunting. And
so
I've turned those into opportunities.
That's one of the reasons that you took on a new business model.
Yes,
here,
exactly.
Trying to get moms that wanted to get back in the
work.
Well,
and it's a business that other agencies don't want to be bothered with. It's very hard to make money when you are placing part-time. You do the same level of recruiting and vetting and screening of employees, and you make a fraction of the money. But we've turned this into an opportunity and something that's impacting people's lives and making a good money.
Mm-hmm. Is that Sarah Sean?
Yeah, growing up as an Army brat, I mean, that's a lot of different locations in a short amount of time. Do you feel like you missed out on anything?
I don't. I mean, it was a little bit of an emotional roller coaster, but I loved moving. It was exciting, and I think when I think back about my childhood, my memories are very vivid with different backdrops from every move, different landscapes, and it really helped, I think, elongate my childhood. So mm-hmm. I'm grateful for it, and I think it did teach me some resilience and that energy that's helped me get through my career.
Allison?
You had mentioned moving around a lot and that you had to reinvent yourself. What does reinventing yourself mean to you when you had to do these moves?
Well, I think you develop a pretty strong emotional IQ when you're an Army brat, where you have to quickly assess situations, assess people, and figure out where you as an individual can fit in. And that's really helped, I think, in any team environment throughout, I think anybody's career. The first thing you want to do is look at your team members, understand their strengths, understand their talents, understand their personalities, and figure out how you can work with them synergistically to really improve the performance of that team.
What strengths and personality traits have you taught your sons?
I'm a tough parent, so I think no excuses. Set your goals high and then do your best. If you can look back and say, I did my best, I studied my hardest, I ran my hardest, whatever it is, if you can look back and say that you did that, then you can be proud of yourself.
That's a lot of good advice. When you're working with moms who are just coming back into the workforce, what's the biggest piece of advice that you give them? What do you always have to tell
them?
Well,
what they struggle with almost 100% is confidence, because when you drop out of the workforce, you lose your identity, that working identity. So we do a lot of coaching and mentoring with our candidates to really say, believe in yourself. Go back, try to relive those professional moments so that you can start feeling, that identity again and believe in yourself and be able to articulate your value to the companies with whom you're interviewing.
Paul, what are you thinking?
Gwen, when you were in high school, what did your class vote you as?
They voted me as most versatile.
What's that all about? What do you mean?
Well, you know, I actually think it was another example of, you know, trying to prove yourself again. My dad had just retired, so it was the last move, and it was a very small southern town that we were part of, and I had to prove myself. So I played the piano, I accompanied the choir, I ran track, I, you know, made decent grades, and it took me a long time, but it took me 4 years, and I guess I proved myself by getting that superlative.
What else are you thinking there, Paul?
How many candidates are there in the workforce marketplace like this in the Metro DC area?
Well, in DC we have about 11,000 candidates, believe it or not. And I would say, I mean, just to give you a few stats, 98% of them have bachelor's degrees, over half have master's or some type of advanced credential, and over half have been at a manager level or higher.
Wow.
80% are probably working moms, but we work a lot
with
retirees.
What are you thinking? Susan? Oh, excuse me, Kathy, what are you thinking? All right.
Sorry.
How about Zach? What do you got? What do you think?
How do you translate the lessons that you learned from moving around to 10 different schools and reinventing yourself to your company in the changing marketplace?
You know, again, like I said, you kind of develop this good emotional IQ. And I think, you know, we always have our radar up for what is changing in the marketplace. How do we position ourselves? Because it's a hard sell. Part-time staffing is a hard sell. So, you know, constantly looking at decision makers and competitors to position ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So you have why do you bother having partners? Why don't you just keep all the money for yourself?
Well, when we launched this company, first of all three of us had the idea, and we had a mutual social connection, so that's how we connected. But we wanted to do it organically. We did not want outside investors mucking around with our mission. And so in order to do that, you know, we were able to cobble together the funds between the three of us, and we were able to basically spend the first year and a half getting this model off the ground without hiring any additional support. Mm-hmm. We have complementary skill sets. I'm the operations person. One of my business partners is the marketing and sales, and the other does the human resource.
Mm-hmm. So what's the best part of your job? What do you enjoy the most?
Of course, the best part of my job is to, you know, help our candidates find meaningful work that fits with their lives. But I think more importantly, as I, you know, work with this company, it's helping change companies' mindsets to see part-time as something that can be a competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of work, what is the best part of your day?
Well, I am a soccer mom, so the best part of my day, I love watching my kids play sports. I hate to say it. I'm addicted, and my youngest is 2 years away from graduating, and I know I'm going to miss that hugely.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Have you ever been thrown out of any soccer games?
I'm the soccer team manager, so I better not be thrown out. I've been the soccer team manager for 9 years now.
Uh-huh. Paul, what else are you thinking?
You have an amazing mission, and how
Thank
do you tie back your mission to your childhood growing up?
You know, I think it's solving a problem, you know, and I think that is what our mission is we are trying to solve a problem that is something that nobody has wanted to necessarily be bothered with. And so that it's creating a solution.
Gwen, are you more like your mom or dad? And what do you tell us about that?
A little bit of a mix. My mom was a Californian, very free spirit, high energy, you know, cheerleader type. Mm-hmm. And my dad was a West Pointer, military for 20 years, and very black and white, disciplined, a master executor.
Gotcha. How young were you when you started making money?
How old was I?
Yeah, how young were you when you started making
young.
Money?
I was, you know, 16. My first job was a waitress.
And what would you do different than all the other kids that had that job?
I liked my job.
What do you mean?
It was fun. I don't know. I just really enjoyed the work. I enjoy work, and I never saw it as the drudgery that I think many of the other waitresses did.
So your middle name's enthusiasm. What you take on, you tend to do with enthusiasm.
I do.
You have passion about your...
I have a lot of energy and belief that, you know, the problem or whatever we're trying to get done can be done. And a lot of belief in the team doing
so
it.
So that's, you know, that's the energy from your mom and the discipline from your dad as well. Isn't that what
yes.
the entrepreneuring
yes.
is all about?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Had you ever been involved with starting a business previously?
No, I hadn't. I had no aspirations to be an entrepreneur at all.
Mm-hmm. But you like embracing change, so when the opportunity came around, you were ready
yes.
for it.
And I felt confident, you know.
Well, you knew what the market was. I mean, you were one of these
right.
moms that had professional degrees, and you'd been successful previously. You just needed a little flexibility in your schedule.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. And I had the flexibility. Not everybody out there has the flexibility financially, mm-hmm. you know, to do it, but we did.
So I guess that's what you're doing for these moms is that, you know, if they need some time, you know, that they need flex time because they're busy taking care of the kids or whatever else it may be, mm-hmm. you're able to get them a gig, you know, that keeps them happy and keeps them fully engaged.
Yes, and these are meaningful jobs. These are not just gigs, you know, mm-hmm. and they're usually permanent positions, mm-hmm. permanent part-time mm-hmm. positions. And I will say we also work with a lot of professionals not ready to retire, and that mm-hmm. market is growing hugely as mm-hmm. the baby boomer generation ages.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address for Flex Professionals?
It's flexprofessionalsllc.com.
Let me have that one more time.
FlexProfessionalsLLC.com.
We've been speaking with Gwen Rosner, who's a partner and co-founder of Flex Professionals here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We will be back in a moment right after this break. And your name is?
Steve Gwensberg.
And Steve, the name of the organization is?
NVT Staffing.
And what do you guys do for your clients?
We're a staffing company in the D.C. metropolitan area.
And what kind of people do you help your clients get?
Anywhere from short-term temporary positions on to permanent positions.
Short-term temporary positions to long-term?
Long-term full-time. If they're looking to hire a full-time employee, we'll help them find that perfect fit.
So you're helping your clients find people that either can fill a temporary position or they can stick around long-term. And what kind of people are these people? What kind of roles are they playing within the organizations?
Anywhere from your receptionist, general office positions, to high-end IT professional, engineers.
So you're helping your companies find bookkeepers as well?
Bookkeepers, you name it. We do IT, medical.
Really, a wide range of people.
Wide range.
And how long have you guys been in business?
25 years.
What do you like about your job?
I like that I get to problem solve. I get to work with people. I get to help people out, and it can be very rewarding.
What do you mean you help people problem solve? What are you talking about? I feel like sure. You just, you know, introduce somebody to a company, and that's the end of the story.
No, people come to me. They might be starting out in the industry, or a company comes to me. They're looking for a specific candidate they haven't had luck finding, and I go out, and I find that candidate, and I identify it for them.
So you like hunting down the perfect people?
Absolutely.
So your nature is a recruiter?
Absolutely.
So you like recruiting people?
Sure.
You like finding people. Can you feel that, like when it really fits right? Can you feel that? Does that make you feel good?
Absolutely.
Huh, interesting. What's the website address for your organization?
Sure. NVTstaffing.com.
NVTstaffing.com. And it's all for all different kinds of people you're helping the companies, your clients with. Let me have that website address one more time.
Sure. It's NVTstaffing.com. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And your name again?
Steve Gwensberg.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Ray Briscuso.
And Ray, what organization are you with?
Life Sciences Conference Group.
And what is Life Sciences Conference Group? What do you folks do?
We produce annual conferences and events for medical technology, life science, pharmaceutical companies.
Uh-huh. So if I go to an event, you're the folks that are working behind the scenes to make it happen?
That's correct. We're the ones that make sure the food's on the table, the seats are there, soundstage and lights are there, your registration process works.
And what kind of events are these? Are these just in the life science industry?
Strictly in the life science industry.
Why do you focus on the life science industry?
We found that the best way to produce a high-quality event is to really know your customer. So we don't believe in numbers, it's names. We get to know each company. We find out what their actual mission and goals are, and we find the best way to deliver the value to them.
And are you doing this nationally or regionally?
We do it nationally. We continue to look for international opportunities, but it's primarily here in North America.
And how old is this company?
The company has just finished its 10th year.
And how long have you been with the company?
I founded the company 10 years ago.
What gave you the idea to start this company?
I used to work for a big corporation, and I produced the annual event for us. And when I decided to leave, they said, thank you for giving us $150 million worth of a business, and we'll see you later. And mm-hmm. next time I decided I would keep some ownership and do it myself.
So you've been building this ever since. What do you like about your job?
I like how different it is because we mix policy, we mix business. I might be putting one CEO together with a politician. I might be putting another CEO together with an investor. Mm-hmm. And I might be putting the next person together with the next employee.
How interesting. What's the website address for this organization?
MedTechConference.org.
Let me have that one more time.
MedTechConference.org.
And the name of the organization again is?
Life Sciences Conference Group.
Life Sciences Conference Group. And your name is?
Ray Briscuso.
Ray Briscuso. We've been talking to Ray Briscuso, CEO and Managing Partner of Life Sciences Conference Group here on Executive Leaders Radio. This has been your Business Spotlight. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money. All the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Kathy DeMio, who is president of KAI Research. Kathy, what is KAI Research? What do you do?
We are a full-service clinical research organization supporting the federal government with research support and private biopharma and other industry and helping achieve their mission.
Mm-hmm. All right. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
How many brothers and sisters?
One sister.
And how are you different than your sister?
My sister is a full-time work-from-home mom. She works in supporting her family, and I'm both a working mom, and I am in an office as well.
But you told us earlier when we were talking in the green room that you guys are really similar as opposed to different. What did you mean by that?
We're very similar because we're both very inquisitive. We like researching things. We like debating different topics. We have a lot of varied interests, and we're both very compassionate and interested in making sure that things are done well in whatever we're doing.
So when you were a kid, what would give us an example of who you were? Give us an example of that.
A couple examples were that I was very committed to a lot of the activities I did in school, both in academics as well as I was a piano player that supported our chorus, jazz band, musicals, and other events for the school. And I was very passionate about it and enjoyed it very much.
Uh-huh. So what was your role as a piano player and as in the jazz band? Were you leading the charge, or what were you doing there?
Well, I saw it at the time, I think, as a supportive role, but that keeps the tempo in many cases. And what I would do for the musicals and for the chorus is help guide them to where we needed to go to produce the event.
What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays as president of KAI Research?
It's my mission to guide a really excellent team and have high quality in everything that we're doing, do it as best as we possibly can, and really honestly let the individual talents of our team show through in executing what we're trying to do for our clients in clinical research.
Uh-huh.
That's an impressive commitment to excellence and really a high standard. When it comes to academics or your extracurricular activities, who from your life was really encouraging you to do that? Where did that come from?
First and foremost, my parents. My dad was, we had humble beginnings, but my dad was a salesperson and sales manager who was extremely dedicated and to quality in what he's doing and is to this day. He's still working. My mother was an artist, and she, back when I was in middle school, went back to school. She decided to follow her passion and get a degree in the art that she was pursuing personally. And that commitment to excellence, as well as to the academics that go with it, was really impressive to me.
Were you an avid reader growing up?
I read a lot. We had books lining our walls. My dad sells books to this day to libraries and other entities. So it was something that I was surrounded with, that inquisitiveness.
Allison?
You also mentioned piano playing, Kathy. Do you still play piano?
I do sometimes, but honestly, I don't make as much time for it as I should with family and work commitment.
And how do you get the blend between the artistic piano side of you and the scientific, academic, biotech?
Well, I think it's a few things. One is that it's a very creative side of my brain that I'm using, and I think I bring that to what we're doing, and I have a lot of varied interests. So music brings that, those arts, that creativity. On the other end of it, it's executing very in a focused manner whatever we're producing, and that's what I was committed to doing when
cool.
I was involved in music
Kathy,
as well.
Kathy, what are you thinking? What
Back when you were in band and musical theater, those were things that seemed to work only if the team is working together. Mm-hmm. Have you shown your organization that in order to succeed, you need to be a strong team?
Absolutely. It's critical to what we're doing. Most of our research support requires a pretty diverse team of people with a lot of expertise, and it has to work well in concert together, if you will, in order to execute what we're doing for our clients. Mm-hmm. The individual talent has to come through, but it has to all work together.
Paul, what are you thinking?
So growing up, you were very curious with your academics and the music and the piano. How are you able to apply that curiosity to today with what you do with the research?
Well, I love what we do. We do a very wide variety of different projects, specialized projects, very interesting types of products that are very important for people who have different kinds of illnesses or conditions. And that curiosity comes into that. I ask a lot of questions. I'm very interested in what we're trying to achieve for the client, and above all, to do it really well. But the wide variety of what we're able to support has been very important, and I think what distinguishes our company as well.
Zach, what are you thinking?
You speak of leadership a lot. Was there a leader in your early life that you looked up to and strived to be?
Absolutely. In my early career, I had a woman leader as one of my first real jobs out of college, and she was very tough, very demanding, expected very high quality, but she was extremely fair and very pleasant to work with. And so I just thought that was a fantastic model of how I wanted to be as a leader as well. Mm-hmm. Tough but fair.
Paul, I think you have another question there. Am I correct?
So your company is focused on gathering data and research in some of the most fascinating industries today in the biotech and the life sciences, and with the advancements of technology, how are you keeping up with that, with all the fast changes that are occurring with technology today?
It's partly based on the personal interests of the people that are within our company. They help to research and dig deeply into what we're doing, so we gain that knowledge in that manner. We also are trying to stay in tune with the research we do by being out at the special trade events or otherwise. We really enjoy engaging with our customers and trying to find out what are they really trying to achieve and how they're going to get their product to market and how we can help them with the highest quality possible to do that.
Allison, what do you...
Kathy, I noticed that we have almost matching scars on our neck. Would you mind telling us what yours is from?
Oh, certainly. I had a tracheostomy when I was about 6 years old, but I actually also have thyroid disease. I happen to have a child who also has a complex medical issue, so this is part of what drives me as well. I've been touched by medical issues throughout my life, and it's very important to me that we serve the people that need new treatments and therapies in order to get better, to be functional, and to be able to be more productive.
Wow. So you're saying one of the things that turns you on about your job is the fact that you know, you want to help people that may have suffered and like you have.
Absolutely. Both me personally, but also my family members. We've got some complex medical issues going on in my family, particularly with my 17-year-old daughter. And every day I wear two hats. One is compassionately and emotionally looking at how I care for her and get her what she needs. But then I can look at it objectively. And with some of the projects we're doing, I can see how can we further the field of research? What can we get to these patients who need it the most?
Huh, how fascinating. What's the website address of this organization?
KAI-research.com.
Let me have that one more time.
KAI-research.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Kathy DeMio, president of KAI Research here on Executive Leaders Radio, as well as we've had the opportunity of speaking with Julie Hoar, CEO of Rehab at Work, Maribel Torres, CEO of Lumix CPA and Advisors, Gwen Rosner, partner and co-founder of Flex Professionals, and again, most recently, Kathy DeMio, president of KAI Research. I would like to thank my co-hosts, Mr. Joe Applebaum from Potomac Companies, Allison Mullins, Pretoria Law, Paul Pagnotto and Kathy Reeder, Pagnotto Carp, Sean Follen from The Clearing, and Zach Applebaum, student, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. What is the website address of our host, Pretoria Law?
PretoriaLaw.com.
How do you spell that?
PROTORAELaw.com.
This is Herb Cohen. Don't forget to visit our website, executivelewsradio.com. And thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Executive Leaders Radio, the region's premier radio show highlighting local executive leaders. We hope you've enjoyed the show here on 1500 AM. You can learn more about Executive Leaders Radio by visiting executivelewsradio.com or tune in next time right here on 1500 AM. That's executivelewsradio.com.